Going Linux, episode 206, Bill's review of Steam and Team Fortress. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your chief executive minion, Bill.
Whether you are new to Linux, moving from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about upgrading to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux.
We hope that you find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done.
Well, Bill, we have a somewhat sad announcement to make, and this announcement will actually answer quite a few questions that our listeners have been posing to us.
Larry, we want to announce that Tom is retiring from podcasting.
Yeah, we're sad to see him leave. Yeah. He's been a big part of the show for a long time, and we'll miss him for sure.
Oh, yeah, and hopefully he'll come back once he decides that he doesn't like retirement.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, Bill, this marks your official promotion from Chief Executive Minion to co-host.
Well, thanks, Larry. Tom's shoes are going to be hard to fill. He's such a great guy. And I just hope that I'm able to do half as well as him. And all I can say is that Tom's going to be missed. I know I miss him right now, and hopefully he'll pop in and say hello to us during his retirement.
Right. He's welcome anytime.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bill, let's get on with the podcast.
All right.
In today's episode, Ubuntu Studio, Steam for Linux, and Team Fortress. Oh, my.
Okay, Larry. Welcome to this episode, because I've been waiting to do this one for a while, and man, I can't wait. Well, first, let me just get through some of the stuff that I think our listeners will enjoy.
Okay.
You know that the RIAA is always coming down about, you know, music, you must pay us for your music, you're not allowed to do this with this music, and even though you've bought it 20 times, you're still not allowed to do anything with it.
Right.
Well, I found a great place to find some great indie music.
Okay.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners have already heard about it, but for the ones who haven't, it's called Jamando, and there's a link in the show notes. And they've got music. So, now, okay, fair warning, some of the music is bad. But some of it's really bad. But there are some gems that are in the catalog, and there's lots to listen to. They even have a stream player that you can listen to the music. And they also have it, if you like the music, you can download it, and it's Creative Commons. So you're not running afoul. So I've been building up a good music library of just free music that, you know, I can do whatever I want, and I know I'm legally okay, that it's right in the terms and agreements that I'm allowed to do whatever I want. It just, sometimes it says you're not allowed to use it for commercial. But if you are a commercial environment, you can pay a license fee to be able to use the music.
And that's, oh, that's all good.
And, yeah. But for individual people who just want to listen, you can just download it. And if you want to donate, sometimes they have a donate button. And let me tell you a real cool thing that happened to me. There was an artist who was a sax player who reminded me of a really jazzy Kenny G.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked his music so much, I threw him a few dollars. Well, not only did I get a personal email back, I got a link to his next album. I got another email saying that as soon as he released his other album, that he'll send me a link. And they were all in higher quality.
Wow.
And
nice.
And yeah, and this was, I think I sent him $5. because I downloaded four of his albums. They were really, really good. And I think, oh, you know, I'll throw him $5. You know, I didn't think anything about it. I've enjoyed it. Some of the albums only had one or two songs on it. One had, you know, eight or nine. And he was just fabulous. And so that's the kind of difference between indie musicians and I guess the we'll call professional musicians is they're grateful for anything they get. And I'm going to support this guy again. Just because I like his work and he's got such a great attitude about his music. And maybe if I'm going to send it email to him and ask him if we might be able to play a little section of his music on our podcast so people can get an idea of what it sounds like. So I hadn't got that yet. So anyway.
Yeah, well, and, you know, there are plenty of services out there that do similar sorts of things. And, you know, if you can certainly find lots of things by browsing around in these services. But just a plug for a fellow podcaster out there around indie music. If you want somebody else to pick some music that maybe you might not pick for yourself, but you want to stumble across something new, you might want to try out Rat Hole Radio. That's at ratholeradio.org. It's a program of music hosted by Dan Lynch of the Linux Outlaws fame. And, you know, once a month or so, he puts out an OGG or MP3 episode of him playing some music and discussing a few things. And you can join them live when they're broadcasting and so on. So a good way to get some exposure to some indie music.
He's a right good musician.
Yes, he's a musician in his own right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
His band is called 50 Pound Sounds, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think they have some free music also. I'm not sure, but you can do a search for him. I listened to his last album, and it was quite good. It was quite good.
Yeah. Yeah. But, hats off to Dan.
Yeah. And Fab, and we'll keep an eye on that as his, yeah. Dan, as his catchphrase.
Inside
okay.
joke, yeah.
Okay, inside joke. Okay, I had the opportunity to try out the latest Ubuntu Studio. And okay. Of course, it was the one I used was based on Ubuntu 12.04, but it used the XFCE desktop. Mm-hmm. Had a lot of tools in it. Ran well. It was very, very fast. I didn't have much, you know, I don't like FCE too much, but what they did to it, it was very usable. And if basically the quick and dirty review is if you're looking for a good multimedia, let's make music or graphics distribution, I would suggest Ubuntu Studio. They're constantly improving it, and I can't wait to see what the next version is going to look like. I've heard that they're going to finally get what they call a low latency kernel, or they might have mm-hmm. already got it in, but they're always.
I believe
always
they already have it.
They already yeah. have it. Okay, yeah, I know mm-hmm. that for one of the versions they couldn't get it. I think maybe it was the last version. Mm-hmm. But now they have it, and this low latency kernel helps with real-time recordings and stuff. So, you know, give those guys a look. They do a great job, and I think it's a relatively small team that does it.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I've tried it on a USB stick on a live environment, and it's worked quite well. I use the XFCE version, and I like it a lot. I wanted to try it because of that low latency kernel, and I wanted to try out Jack Studio as a way of routing some of the signals around through my computer without having to have physical patch cables and things like that. Never got the hang of it. I do want to learn how to do that, and I understand that the Mintcast folks are doing an episode, or maybe they've already recorded it. I haven't listened to it if they have, on Jack and Jack Studio, which is a utility for routing audio, and it's an alternative to using some of the other sound utilities in Linux that are kind of variable from computer hardware to computer hardware, and Jack just makes it a little bit easier. But as with many things Linux, it's a lot more configurable, a lot more customizable, and as a result, there's a lot more to learn on it. So one of these days, I'll get down and learn it, and maybe we'll be recording Going Linux using Jack in the future, and maybe even Ubuntu Studio, who knows?
Well, you know, I just listened to their last Mintcast, and they said they got it all working.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it sounded really, really good. The only problem they said they run into was if the application they want to use is not Jack aware, it's a pain in the butt.
Okay.
But apparently Audacity is Jack aware, so we're good.
Ah, good to know. Good to know. Oh, and I have to give a shout out to the folks over at Mintcast. You know, the way I listen to podcasts is I download a batch of them onto my phone, and then I listen to them. I listen to them actually in reverse order. So if, for example, I have 3 Mintcast episodes, I listen to first the most recent one, then the second most recent one, and then the last one, of course, the third most recent one. So I kind of get them out of order, which is okay. But what happens, though, is I only load up my phone about once a month or once every 2 months in some cases, depending on how busy things are at work. And so I haven't always listened to the latest episode. And there was an episode that they recorded a little while ago where they were comparing their statistics on how many members they have in their Google Plus community and comparing themselves to us. So when we got started on our Google Plus community, we quickly rose to about 150 some odd members, and Mintcast was lagging behind a little bit. And then they caught up to us, and now they've exceeded us. They're at 162. So I'm jealous. We need a few more members in our Google Plus community. We have got to outpace Mintcast. So all of you guys over that listen to Mintcast, if you haven't signed up to the Going Linux Google Plus community, and you have signed up to the Mintcast community, come on over to us. We got to keep at least equal. At least equal. I'd like to have a few more than them. Please. Let's go. Come on, guys.
Please.
Sign up. Just join. No fees, no nothing. Just we make some half-intelligent posts there from time to time. The members are always chatting in there. It's a great way to communicate with other people who listen to the Going Linux podcast. So, Mintcast, guys.
Oh my god.
Hey guys, we love you. And you know, guys at Linux and Hamshock, we love you
too. Badger, 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 badger.
Russ and Richard over there. We can't give shout outs without giving shout outs to those guys, or we'll never hear the end of it. So hi guys.
Isn't Richard on hiatus?
Yeah, so he's kinda like Tom that way, I guess.
He might be helping Tom.
Maybe that's it. Yeah, they're working together.
They're trying to lift that engine back on.
Yeah, and they're going to install a ham radio in his podcast rig.
Oh,
that would be cool.
Yeah, that works.
That would be good. Okay.
So then they can actually say Maydays when the plane crashes.
Yeah, that could be handy.
You know, SOSs.
So moving on with this episode, talk about rat holes. We're really down this one. So moving on, we were talking about Ubuntu Studio.
Yeah. Well, that's about all I got to say about Ubuntu Studio, because the next one is all work and no play make a very sad chief executive minion.
Okay, so let's talk about the play.
Yeah, let's talk about the play. The first part of this is Steam for Linux. Now, I'm sure everybody's heard about Steam for Linux that cares about it, but you had to listen to me anyway.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm running Ubuntu 12.04, and so I went to the Steam website, and it says install Steam. I clicked it. It took me to another page. It says click here to install Steam. I clicked. The Software Center opened up. I entered my password, and then it installed Steam for me. It then did some little bit interesting stuff. It opened up a terminal window again that I had to enter my password because it needed to get some additional files. Now, that's not like how it happens on a Windows. It's just seamless. So there's an extra step in installing it, which is, if you're not quite used to it, it might have thrown you, but it just asks you to type your password, and then it asks you a couple times, is this okay to do this? Is this okay to, you know, do you want to download these extras? And once it finishes it, it closes the window, and you never see it again.
Okay.
I don't know what that's about. I don't know why they couldn't have built that into the installer. But then the installer goes and it updates the files. It says updating installer. And then the next thing you know, you get your Steam client window. It says, you know, do you want a new user account, a login with a PS3 account, or log in with your existing account? Well, I had an account, so I logged in. And sure enough, it accepted my credentials, and it says, we're going to send you an email, and you have to enter the little code that comes in your email into the little box that says, hey, this is my computer. I'm not some pirate trying to get into the chief executive minion's Steam library. I enter the code. It says, about 30 seconds later, I have full access to my Steam library. I look and see, I have some programs that I've bought over the years that are Windows-based because I haven't always run Linux. And so I can go look at them, but they're not available to install under Steam yet, under Linux Steam. So Okay. They have their store very well organized. Everything that can be run under Linux is in one category. And so, you know, I'm going down there and looking, and one of my favorite, I played the first iteration of it, was Team Fortress. And I said, ugh, no way, Team Fortress 2? I haven't played this. So, of course, I said, install. And it was a beautifully smooth install. It didn't ask for any, you know, additional anything. It just installed just like it, as if it was a Windows or a Mac. It just perfectly, no problems whatsoever. And so it downloaded it, and I'm sitting there going, wow, this is cool. So while I'm waiting, there's a store and or that you can look at, and they always have these updated games, and everyone I looked at was a Linux enabled game. So, you know, it was cross-platform on Windows, Mac, and Linux. And it always has Little Penguin if it's available to be played on Linux. And it seems like it's growing constantly. So I was pretty impressed. So we're going to fast forward just a little bit. About 45 minutes later, I have Team Fortress 2 installed. And I'm thinking, okay, let's see how this is going to work, because, you know, it's probably going to be really bad. But I click it. It actually puts a little icon on your desktop that says Team Fortress, you know, just like it's a regular application. And you double click it. About 30 seconds later, it comes up with the Steam logo with the guy with the valve in the back of his head. And it goes to Team Fortress, and it is just beautifully well done. And I guess they have some kind of infrastructure that it looked at, and it said, hey, there is a better driver for your video card. I told it I didn't want to install it because it was the experimental one, and this is my daily driver. So I said, stay with the current one. And even with my current one, I'm getting frame rates that are just butter smooth. Of course, my machine has the horsepower for it, but besides that, I mean, I've couldn't tell the difference, and I'll go into that in a minute. So I've been playing according to my Steam account. It keeps track of how much time you spend on the game. I've been shooting people for about 23 hours.
It's amazing you've taken time out of that to record our podcast here.
Yeah.
But Bill, can I ask a question here?
Sure.
I've noticed that, you know, as you've been talking, I've been browsing around on the Steam site, and I've seen Steam for Linux, and you had mentioned that you went to the Steam site and installed it from there.
Yes.
Now, is Steam available in the Ubuntu Software Center, or do you have to go to the website to get it?
I don't know. I was just, I did the experiment that if I was a brand new person and was used to how things were done in Windows, you go to a website, you click it, you install.
Right.
Of course, the Ubuntu Software Center installed it, and you still had to enter your password.
Your credentials. Yeah. Sure. Absolutely.
It didn't throw up any warning. So I guess it knew that it was an okay package.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, Canonical kind of keeps an eye on what goes through. I've tried to install a package when I think it was an 1104 when Unity first came out, and Unity didn't like, what was it, Opera. And it kept telling me that it wouldn't let me install it because it was a trusted package. So I know there's some mechanism back there that they're saying, hey, this is an okay package. You know, it usually gives you a warning, and it always asks you, do you trust the source for this package?
Right, right. Yeah, when you're installing from outside the software center.
As far as I can tell, it's an extra step for a Linux user because you have to enter your credentials in the software center. Now we're talking about someone using Ubuntu.
Right.
But right now I think it's mostly for Ubuntu and Mint, and I think there might be a few other distributions that have ported it to their Linux, but I know it works under Mint. Now, I had a few little quirks with Mint when I tried it, and frankly, I think it was me more than Mint, just because I'm used to the way things are done on Ubuntu.
Right.
Being the Ubuntu fanboy that I am, I'm grown very fond of Unity and how things work. So I've my workflow is totally different, and then when I go to Mint, it's totally different again. So things are a little harder for me. I mean, I liked how things I got set up on my desktop, and I'm sure you've got the same feeling when you go to someone else's desktop. You're going, "Oh my God, how do you work with this thing?"
Yeah, especially when it's not Linux.
Yeah,
but that's another thing.
But I went there just as a regular Windows user would do, and just clicked and see if it would install, and it did. The only extra part was that you had to use your credentials. So other than that. But so it downloaded it, started the game, and started running around, dying a lot, but killing other people in the game. I might point that in the game. Tried the different characters and wanted to see how the performance was. And it was just so fast. It was just incredible. And I'm thinking, I wonder how this would compare if I was going to run it under Windows. So, Bill being Bill, he got installed it on a Windows machine of the same, on the same machine. And after I cloned my Linux partition. And I installed it. And, I actually prefer the experience under Linux better, because it seemed like I got better frame rates.
Was this Windows 7 or Windows 8 you were checking it out on?
Well, to be thorough, I did Windows 7 and Windows 8.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have I have backups of both those, so I can blast them. I cloned both pristine, and both of these are pristine images.
So it was noticeably faster on Linux?
I thought it was. The only thing I noticed during the beta portion of when before, and now it's out of beta, it went, when it was loading the maps for the game that you were going to go play on, it seemed like Linux took an extra 30, 45 seconds to load.
Yeah, I'd heard that on other reviews, that it's a little slower to load, but that it is equally fast or faster on Linux. So it sounds like your experience aligns with others that I've heard.
But now that it's out of beta, I really can't tell the difference.
Really? So they've even improved that?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
But I think what happens is, as you place maps, it stores that data on your computer.
Okay.
So it speeds it up. So, you know, there was a couple maps that I played a lot, you know, because I was playing the all skill level one, you know, attack and defend. And so it seemed like those maps that I played a lot loaded a lot quicker. So I don't know if they're doing some, you know, caching, you know, your computer has some of the files to help it load quicker, but they have considerably sped up the getting into the game. But what I wanted to say is, if you were playing on Linux during the beta, which I was, you got a penguin that you can equip on your character.
Why not? Hey, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, it's only if you were on Linux and playing Team Fortress could you get this little penguin. And you can't get it anymore. It's not tradable. So, you know, there, if you have it, you're like, I've got something that you Windows players don't have.
So other players can see that you're a penguin and see that you're a Linux user.
Yeah, I heard that you can equip it. I have just left it in my inventory because I can't see blowing Tux up, you know, the way as many times as I die.
So you want to wait until you build your skill level a little higher.
Yeah, Larry, there is no skill level with me. It's like, I play they call these guys the heavy. They got run around with a big machine gun, and basically I just shoot anything that moves. Then I run back and get friend or foe. It's a good thing you can't hurt your teammates, because I'd have done killed everybody. You're talking about, you know, just, you know, and of course the game's so funny is that, you know, every once in a while, you know, when you're playing, he'll say, "I love this gun" or stuff. So, you know, it's a great game. It's all animated blood. It's a good stress relief. But that was the only game I really played a lot on Steam. So I guess I found the one game I like so much, and I just kept playing it and playing it and playing it. It really is a great platform. Steam's throwing out games all the time, and I'm hoping before too long the games that I had bought when I was running Windows can be played on my Linux box.
Right. So I had heard that some that you've purchased on Windows, even though they may not be available in the store labeled for Linux, they will run under Linux. So have you tried that yet?
Well, when you go to your library and you're running Linux, it shows what's available to run in your Linux library.
Oh, I see. So it actually tells you what's in your library and whether or not you can run it.
Yeah, and then you can click My Library, and it shows all the other games that I've bought. But but since they're not listed in the Linux part of it, they won't run.
I see. Okay, so it automatically takes care of that.
Yeah, you can't mix it up. And I'm, you know, so in a way, you kind of, if you are invested in Windows games and you go to Linux on Steam, some of your games might actually be cross-platform, but sometimes they won't be. And so you're going to have to, you know, either wait or figure something out. I didn't have that many games to really lose, so I'm not too torn up about it. I am waiting for a few good games that I've been I've been hearing that are going to be made for Linux, and I'm really excited. One of them was there's a new BioShock coming out that they're going to make it sure it's all cross-platform, so that's going to be awesome. So I would give the guys at Steam, you know, if I was rating them from 1 to 5, I'd give them a 4.5. There's a few mm-hmm. little issues, but nothing really to... There's no game stoppers. It's been a really fun experience. It was very painless to install. I've met a few new friends on there after they've blown me up a few thousand times. I've noticed one thing about the two clients, the Windows client and the Linux client, as far as I can tell, are feature set identical. So Linux didn't get the stripped down version of the client. They got everything that everybody else has. Because I've always, you know, for some reason, I've seen some people think that Linux doesn't need all the features and, you know, in-game chat and all that other cool stuff. So it has everything that the Windows side has, feature for feature, that I can tell. Now, if I'm missing one, I really can't. I haven't found it yet, but anything I can do on my Windows box, I can do on my Linux box within Steam.
Okay. Hey, that's great. And I've been browsing around as you've been talking on the Steam site, and I am at steamcommunity.com/Linux. And they've got a little description here from February 15th about some of the things you're talking about. And some of the questions I've asked are answered here. So the very first paragraph about is it available in the Ubuntu Software Center? I'm reading from their paragraph here. Mm-hmm. It says, the Steam client is now available to download for free from the Ubuntu Software Center. Ubuntu is the most popular distribution of Linux used by millions of people globally and known for its well-designed, easy-to-use customer experience. And regarding your little Tux mascot, it says Team Fortress 2, the free-to-play game, is also now available on Steam for Linux for a limited time. Steam users who play the game on Linux will automatically receive a free, exclusive in-game item. Tux, the Linux mascot, can be carried by any of the game's classes and traded between players. So it looks like you can trade Tux as well now.
Ooh. You're not and getting my Tux.
Yeah, it says additional Valve titles available on Steam for Linux include Half-Life, Counter-Strike 1.6, and Counter-Strike Source. So by the time our listeners listen to this, I'm sure there will be even more available. And, you know, they've got thousands of titles of stuff out over there.
Sounds like a lot of shooters.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, that's an excellent review from a user's perspective. A little different from most other reviews I've heard, but it's honest from the heart and definitely covers the things that people new to Linux, people new to Steam, people new to Team Fortress want to know, you know, some real life experience. And, you know, you're not a super elite player of these games, so you're a real world guy, right? Like the rest of us.
More like old and slow.
Okay, all right. So not a gaming expert, I guess.
I was around when the video games were first invented, and yeah. Now if you want to challenge me to Pong, I'll beat you.
Yeah, 8-bit graphics, cool
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. You know, asteroids, you know, the Space Invaders. I got you covered. But these new games, man, these kids, man, doing stuff. I just have to say this. I was playing one game and there was this guy I was getting ready to shoot and he was right in front of me. And the next thing I know, he's flying through the air and I'm like, what? And he just takes his gun, shoots the ground and is flying. And I'm like, well, that's not right. That is just uncool. You're not supposed to do that. Bill Hedge.
Cool for him.
My gun hadn't spun up enough to shoot him, and he just disappears. And then he shoots me in the back. So,
Of course.
I'm just saying, yes, I'm the big walking target around there, but
somebody's got to be.
Yeah, someone's got to be, and it's fun. The guys that run that Team Fortress or Steam, they keep it clean and they keep it very well controlled. There's not a lot of griefing and you can report people for cheating and stuff. So it's really well managed. So. They seem to manage all their games really well, so I don't know what else to say except go get it.
Yep, sounds great. Well, Bill, thanks for that review. And in our next episode, it will be listener feedback, and we'll pick up with our user experience episodes and the advanced customizing your Linux desktop next month. But stay tuned for our very next episode, listener feedback, right here. And until then, you can go to the articles, show notes, and all other good things at goinglinux.com. And there you can get more information, detailed instructions, screencasts, and illustrations.
And remember, if you have a topic you want us to cover on the show, use the forums to leave your topic suggestion in the thread labeled Topic Suggestions at forum.goinglinux.com.
If you want to support our efforts, click the Donate button while you're there.
You can also send us an audio comment by email. We'll play it on the show. Email is at goinglinux@gmail.com. Our voicemail is +1 904 468 7889.
Follow our show updates on Twitter, tweet us at Going Linux, or join our Google Plus community. Look for Going Linux Podcast. Join and beat out that other podcast community that's out there.
Please.
Join up.
Please.
And you can download the episodes from our website, or you can play them right from our show notes page. Until next time, thanks for listening.
73.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.